Oh, lordy, lordy, ni hao, and welcome to the Loftus Party. You have found it. You have discovered it in your file of downloads. Welcome aboard, everybody. That was pretty awesome. That was good.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's the voice of Andrew Apple over there.
Hello,
good morning, Andrew.
Everyone. Good morning.
Ni hao.
Ni hao.
That is, we tried to look into Mandarin way too long. And what was the other option?
Cantonese.
Cantonese. Didn't hear Cantonese.
Nope.
But ni hao. So, because it's the anniversary of the People's Revolution in China.
Yep, that was May in 1966.
A revolution so big and so popular, the Chinese government today said, we're not going to do anything. No parade. You know it's bad. They didn't do a parade. Yeah, well, they didn't do anything. They're like, whatever.
Well, to be fair, you have many Holocaust parades in Germany either.
No, you really don't. Well, you have the Day of Remembrance and all that stuff.
Yes.
China's just like, anyhow, it never happened. 30 million. No joke there. 30 million people.
You know,
killed.
That's a few. That's a few.
That's really horrific. Anyway, ni hao, and happy Revolution Day. It's a sad day. Lots to get caught up on. It was such a busy week. Such a busy week. We did a taping of the TV show.
The Flip Side.
Yep. That's what it's currently called.
Yes.
down at the Comedy Magic Club on Thursday. Probably the best two episodes we've ever done.
No question about it. I went in
Saturday to edit them. It was an absolute joy. There's no hair pulling. There's no teeth gnashing. No weeping. And it was great.
It was an absolute
blast. A big crowd. Lots of laughs. And I'm so happy to announce this. 20-pound sledge was there. Now we heard our theme song, right?
Yes.
The na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. 20-pound sledge. They did a song. I just want to talk about the band for a little bit. Here's 20 pounds. They said they did a song. It was so cool, right? When you're a stand-up, you think, oh, there might come a day where I'm holding up, you know, an album or a CD, and I go, off their new album, da-da-da-da-da. I got to do that.
Yes.
I got off their new album, Divine Battery, 20-pound sledge. So here's a little clip of Divine Battery. That was bad. That was cool. Elevator! Okay, that's a good taste. That's what we're talking about.
Yes.
That kind of edge, that kind of wonderfulness, those harmonies, the sounds that they get out of the instruments. Now, when dude who plays lead guitar starts in on the Flip Side theme song. Oh my gosh. Like, I kind of thought the theme song, I'll be honest. This is just like total honesty time. I thought the theme song was a little tired.
Really?
Right? Yeah. I was kind of over it. Then 20-pound sledge plays it. Holy moly. I literally got chills. I literally, like, the hair on my forearms is standing up. It sounded, he gets a sound like the edge gets out of his guitar.
It was a good.
And then there's the other guy, ding, 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 doing like these harmonic things on the, holy moly.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's like, rediscovering, your favorite food. Like, you know, like, oh, I used to love, fried chicken. He's like, but I eat too much fried chicken. I don't like it anymore. Then you eat fried chicken. Oh, I love it. Now, it's so good.
Did you have that experience with music growing up where, you know, you had your tapes and you pulled out the old shoebox and you found the
okay.
new song?
Here's the fortunate thing. I'm the youngest of five kids.
Okay.
And my older brothers and sisters were always listening to weird music, good music, bad music, whatever. I inherited all of the 45s, all of that stuff. So a really weird musical background. However, this station, this rock station, album-oriented rock station in Columbus, Ohio, in the middle of the night, they would play, like, really cool stuff. Like, and this, here's, I remember being a little kid, and I had a tape recorder that you would hold it up to the radio.
Oh, yeah.
If you heard a good song, mm-hmm. and I caught, like, the last half of Roxanne. I was, like, a kid, and I'm like, what is this?
Nice.
I heard it one time on the radio, and that was it. Then, once again, just aging myself, in high school, a friend of mine told me, she's like, because she knows I'm Irish, my family's Irish, blah, 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 immigrated here from Ireland legally.
we need to point that out. That's very important.
Like, whatever, that'll get us into a whole other area. She tells me there's this band from Ireland she thinks I might like. Would I go up to Cleveland with her? She has tickets. Mm-hmm. I had a car. She didn't. She's like, you drive. I think you'll like these guys. I go up this little club in Cleveland, Ohio. The Agora seats like 1,500 people.
Yeah.
There's probably 200 people there.
Yeah.
And a little band comes on stage. U2. I think they played every song they knew twice, but oh my gosh, I was like instant convert. It's just one of those things, like that was it. Like if it was the X-Men, you could do a close-up of my bloodstream and see the DNA change. And the same thing happened when a kid, Ben, what was Ben's last name?
We love you, Ben.
Yeah, Ben, really cool kid. I'm giving him a ride. So it's like I had a car and I had a tape player in the car. And Ben's like, hey, can you give me a ride to this art school? Mm-hmm. I went to a couple really cool high schools. So I'm giving him a ride to his thing. And he starts singing this song. And I'm like, ooh, what is that? And he's like, oh, that's The Clash. Yeah. And I'm like, huh? And I'm like, I had never heard. And he's like, you haven't heard of The Clash? He's like, pull the car over. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I have to get you where you're going. He's like, no. Pull the car over and park it because your life is about to change. And I'm like, all right, way to oversell, Ben. So he puts in London Calling and boom, he was absolutely correct. Very few times in my life have someone like Ben, God, I haven't thought of this dude in years. This is so awesome. He literally said, pull the car. He knew the sonic power and the goodness of mm-hmm. The Clash back then. We pulled the car over and found a safe space. He's like, put it in park. And we listened to the whole album. And I'm like, you're going to be late. He's like, no, this is more important. And he was right. And he totally blew off his like little art thing, whatever. His little art thing. What a good guy. Oh, my Lord.
So I understand the mentality that is Michael Loftus so much more now after hearing that story.
Oh, it was fantastic. I used to give my brother so much grief. I had a really great musical childhood. I used to give my older brother, Chip, so much grief because he would listen to Journey before they got ruined by Steve Perry. Back when they were like this independent, like jazz, fusion, rock and roll, this crazy thing out of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is this? Whatever. He would also listen to Springsteen, and I would constantly make fun of Springsteen. Right? And thank you, Chip. I want to say this publicly. I want to thank my older brother for just not beating me to a pulp. Because I'd be like, the engine's driving and I don't know what. And I was relentless in making fun of it. Uh-oh, we've got a caller on line one. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hi there.
I would make fun of Springsteen. So I think I was in 10th grade.
Okay.
And he comes home one day, and he just goes, here you go. And he hands me a concert ticket. He's like, we're going to go see Springsteen together. We're driving to Cincinnati. I'm like, who? He's like, me and my buddies. There's a huge group of us from his high school. Mm-hmm. We're all going to go down there. We're going to get a hotel room. And, I'm like, what? And I get to hang out with the cool kids. And he goes, yeah, I'm going to shut you up. And we went to a Springsteen show, and that was the last time I ever made fun of Springsteen. Just an awesome show. First of all, I get to hang out with my big brother and all of his friends. And like, it was a 3.5 hour concert. And it was all, I kind of knew the songs because I made fun of them all the time. Yeah. Well, the front door slammed and Mary's got a dress in the Chevy, blah, 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 blah. But it was great. It was just the best time. And it did. It was like, he shut me up. That was the last time. I don't know how we got into music.
No, we were talking about 20 Pound Sledge.
Oh, 20 Pound Sledge.
We love 20 Pound Sledge.
The best thing ever. Best thing ever for the show. Just a great energy, a great vibe, really good dudes, and the sound. I want to know. I play a little guitar myself.
You do.
And I want to know how he gets that noise out of his guitar, because that's what I want.
It's a good reverb.
Oh, it's reverb and distortion. There's like a little anger to it. It's fantastic.
And what you're describing right now is how people walk into Guitar Center and just lose $5,000.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, that was the Michaeltopia we did on the show. If you go into a guitar shop and you play the guitar for more than 10 minutes, you have to buy it.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that. I know it's tempting. I'm tempted to do it. You pull a great guitar, you pull an old Strat down, and you want to plug it in and just rock out. Mm-hmm. Don't. Because, you know what? We don't all want to hear it. And especially don't do it in Studio City, California. Really? You know, where like a real guitar player could just walk in. Yeah. Like, there is a chance Eric Clapton could walk in through the front door. Are you seriously, you little, like, self-taught Stairway to Heaven struggling loser? That'd be horrible. I was having dinner at Maria's Italian Kitchen the other night, and Duff McKagan walked in. Right? And I had to Google Duff McKagan. Like, and I'm like, yep, I'm looking at the picture. That's the guy. You know? And how crazy is that? I didn't say anything to him. Years ago, I'm walking to the restaurant down the street. Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys. I had to say hello. The guy. I'm like, hey. And then I'm like, what did I say? What kind of genius thing did I say? I'm like, thanks for all the music. And he was the coolest dude. He's like, hey, man, all right, what's your name? He asked me what my name was. I thought that was the coolest thing ever. Okay, so we got to get to some news. We got to get to some news of the day. We talked about the TV show. Things are going great,
wonderful
listener. Things are going really, really, really well with the TV show. Thanks for supporting it. And thanks for coming out to the show the other night. It was a blast. 20-pound sledge, thank you. Everything's wonderful. Where do we want to start in the news?
Well, I think
so many things. So many things.
I think the biggest story that we haven't talked about yet is the fact that, barring anything crazy happening, Donald Trump will be the nominee of the Republican Party.
Yes. Yeah. Donald Trump is the guy. People need to start. He is the 200-pound elephant in the room.
Yeah.
You got to start coming to grips with everybody. I love that it's already kind of decided on the Republican side, and now the Democrats are fighting.
Yeah.
And it is a fight.
It's getting kind of ugly over there.
It is. We have a clip. This is Barbara Boxer.
Yeah, so we should set this up. So
yes.
Nevada chose its delegates this past week.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bernie Bros were not happy with the way things went down.
Is that what they're calling themselves now?
Yeah, Bernie Bros.
The Bernie Bros?
Yep,
That's a cool nickname. I gotta give it up. Well, you got to give it up. The Bernie Bros.
So there was a lot of controversy about how things went down, where Hillary Clinton walked away with more delegates than Bernie, even though Bernie won Clark County.
Shenanigans.
Yeah, exactly.
The Bernie Bros are calling shenanigans.
That's exactly what they're doing. So so they sent out a dove to bring an olive branch. Senator Barbara Boxer of California.
Whom I like.
She's very nice.
It's weird. It's one of those things, like, I like Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Don't like what he stands for and what he's... But as a guy, I like him. Barbara Boxer, same thing.
Yeah.
Like, I could, like, have a glass of lemonade with her and watch the cars go by. I could sit on a front porch and play gin rummy with Barbara. Not Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi puts out that pure evil vibe, right? Like, just pure, straight-up evil.
But her job, so much of it actually encompasses what Frank Underwood does on House of Cards. She just needs to keep moving the sludge along in the House.
We did it. If you close your eyes and imagine Nancy Pelosi saying this thing. She's just evil. She feeds off the blood of young puppies, and it keeps my face tight.
You know,
she's just evil.
Your Nancy Pelosi sounds a lot like Katharine Hepburn.
Oh, yeah.
Norman, you're my knight in shining armor. There's a little bit more of an English accent to my... Yeah. Nancy hits her eyes a little hard. We passed it. We did Obamacare. We passed it in the middle of the night while you all were sleeping, and we held hands and walked across Pennsylvania. I hate her.
Okay.
Yay! Barbara Boxer, not so much. So they have Barbara Boxer go out.
They do.
Because everybody loves Barbara Boxer.
Exactly.
Right?
But not the Bernie Bros.
She's your cool grandma. You know what? I bet there's some tasteful nudes of Barbara Boxer somewhere. I bet there are.
You know what? She's about to retire soon, so that's probably when they're going to get leaked.
I swear!
Yeah.
No, seriously. Like she dated an artist back in the day, and he did some like tasteful sketches of her like reclining.
Just like full on Olivia Wilde on vinyl,
right?
Warhol style.
I bet she was a hottie back in the day too.
Oh yeah,
I bet Barbara Boxer, she turned some heads. Okay, so anyway, so they throw her to the port. They throw her to the wolves in Vegas because the Bernie Bros are upset.
Yep. Let's just play the clip.
Yeah.
You can hear them booing in the background.
Oh, yeah.
The whole future of the country is at stake. Now, when you boo me, you're booing Bernie Sanders. Go ahead.
Never should have said that.
No.
Never. You boo me, you're Bernie. You're booing Bernie Sanders. Never should have said that.
No.
Because if I'm in there booing, my boo's just got a million times louder. Because, like, no, lady, we're not. We're booing you.
Yeah.
It's great. They're fighting.
Yeah. No,
I love it. It's going to get ugly.
It's going to get really – I think it'll ultimately all end up coming together before the Democratic National Convention. I don't know how. I don't know what the olive branch is going to be. There's a lot of speculation that Hillary may end up choosing Elizabeth Warren as her running mate, and that would be an olive branch to appeal.
You mean Pocahontas?
Yes, Pocahontas. So
did you see that?
I did.
That was so – see, this is what people – love about Donald Trump. Elizabeth Warren comes out with some angry tweets about Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, you know, she claimed she was an Indian to further her career, which she did.
Yeah.
Which she did.
Yeah.
So she comes out with one more the other day. Somebody asked him about, like, aren't you worried about Elizabeth Warren? And he's like, you mean Pocahontas? Just the best. Just boom. That's a Mike Tyson. And you know what? She stopped tweeting.
Yeah.
She...
Well, but that's the biggest thing. Everyone under the age of 30 knows that the rules of Twitter, the number one rule, it's like the number one rule of Fight Club.
I don't, okay, hook me up, because I don't know.
You don't feed the trolls.
Oh, yeah.
It's...
Here's, and, like, thank you for bringing this up. I believe you're right. Here's this weird thing. My Twitter handle, for
Mike Loftus Comic.
Mike Loftus Comic. And then I have one for the TV show. It's like, seriously, it's like my rating system.
Yeah.
I know how popular the TV show is by how much activity there is on the Twitter account for Flipside Loftus.
Yep.
All right? Things must be going good because Flipside Loftus, chunk, going up several notches.
Yes.
And it's great. I've just been very quiet about it. I just want to see how, and it's going really well.
It really is.
So there's some seriously angry people on there, and I get it, you know, whatever. Yeah, we're angry. Anger's good, but, you know, use that anger to do something. These people take a lot of pride in, like, blocking people.
Yeah.
And I've noticed here's a trend on the Flipside Loftus Twitter account. Somebody will quote the tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's the tweet that made me so angry, I'm going to block you.
Yes.
Ha ha, you just got blocked. Exclamation, but they're quoting that, like, why would you quote the tweet? Just quietly block the person. If they're bugging you, why do you want to do that? Here's the tweet that sent me over the top and made me block you. Isn't that feeding the trolls? Isn't that like, ha-ha, I got under your skin and now I know I did.
But in that particular case, all you do is say thank you.
Yeah.
It's like that's all you can do because we are living in a world now where news can be in a vacuum if we decide that we want it to be.
News is in a vacuum.
Well, if you reach out, you have a lot of access to news sources. So if you want different points of view, you can access it in a way you couldn't before.
This is great. It goes because it goes to the Facebook thing.
It does.
But here's a little bit of history of me. As a TV writer, I worked on the show, one of the shows I worked on, Anger Management with Charlie Sheen.
Yes.
In that show, Charlie Sheen was actually an anger management therapist. So we would do a lot of research into, you know, mental disorders, blah, 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 and phobias, what have you. There's a thing that scientists and psychologists and used to give called the naked photo test.
Okay.
I don't know if I've talked about this before on the show.
No.
I find this very scary.
Mm-hmm.
They developed it like in the 1970s. The psychologist would say to you, here's the naked photo test. Mm-hmm. You have to imagine someone has naked photos of you. And you can't hang on to them yourself. You have to give them to a trusted friend to take care of until the crisis has passed and you can dispose of them. So how many people in your life, how many people, friends of yours, do you trust to hang on to these naked photos? In the 1970s, 1980s, I think the number was like 8 or 9.
Okay.
Like 8 or 9 close friends.
Yeah.
The number is now down to 2. Because what is happening is, people don't have as many friends as they used to.
Mm-hmm.
We are operating in these vacuums. On Twitter, and I do this, and it's a struggle. It is a struggle sometimes. If you want to follow Flipside Loftus and all, you know, and follow back and all that stuff, the Twitter feed is a mishmash of all kinds of different stuff.
Absolutely.
Which is awesome because you have to get news from everywhere.
Yeah.
The majority of Americans, I think, are just getting, like on Facebook, I don't like you anymore. I don't like what you said. You're not my friend.
Yeah.
I don't like what you tweeted. Unfollow. Mm-hmm. Block. You don't exist.
Yeah.
And so people, they don't know how to interact with people who disagree with them. And that's a very, very scary thing. It's why I watch the BBC. It's why I watch MSN. It's why I try to, you know, in Fox News, I watch, CNN, all of it.
You get opposing viewpoints.
So that's what makes this Facebook thing so very frightening.
Yes.
When you have, and say what you will, I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it absolutely that Facebook was purposefully keeping conservative news down and injecting stories that they thought deserved more attention.
Yes. So,
and that is a scary, scary, like George Orwellian kind of a thing.
Yes. So Gizmodo put out this report where there were a number of independent contractors who were essentially curating the news that ended up on the right side of your page.
Yeah.
Or in your search bar, depending on whether or not you're on the mobile app. I still use it on my desktop as much as I do on my mobile app. I'm one of the weird ones like that.
You know what? I just got an iPad Pro.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have Facebook on my phone and took it off.
Really?
Yeah. It was just constant, bro. Just constant.
I mean, you can turn that off.
Yeah, and I did, but still, it's just like it's like a drug, you know? Like, ooh, I need to check that. Ooh, and then like, ooh, they commented on what I commented, and he didn't like what I liked. Just like, no, but now I put it back on. I'm dipping my toe back in that water.
You have to.
So Facebook was manipulating the news feed.
Yeah, and these news curators were specifically told that if something was making its way up the ranks from CPAC or something like that, that was not to go into the news feed.
Boom. That's horrible.
It is.
That's really, really frightening. Yeah. And I think Facebook is now, and here's the other frightening statistic. Facebook is like the number two source of news.
It is, very much so. Yeah, it's way up there.
What's number one? Instagram? What's number one?
You know what?
Periscope?
Instagram is now owned by Facebook, so it's all the same thing.
Really?
Yeah, they bought it a couple of years back.
And Twitter's Periscope?
Yes.
It's just going to, it's going to be networks.
Yeah.
They're just going to program the internet like networks.
Yeah, and that's the reason why net neutrality was so important, why everyone was fighting so hard for it.
You know what? And we did a monologue about that on the show. Let's keep the internet open and free. And I can see both sides of the issue. However, this is like the unintended consequences. If you, and this is to everyone who's listening to the podcast, if you have an idea for a small business, go out, get that domain name, get started.
Yeah.
This message brought to you by GoDaddy. GoDaddy. With women race car driver commercials since 1999.
We do have to say we are not actually sponsored by GoDaddy.
No, but that'd be wonderful. If you'd like to sponsor the podcast, keep the Loftus Party. This is the website of, the podcast, the TV show, theloftusparty.com.
Mm-hmm.
It is wonderful.
Yes.
And we are going to highlight small businesses, help those people, just shine a light on some awesome charities and some bloggers and other, like, the Daily Dose is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
You can go every day. There's a new, like, I learned about Estonia and what a rockin' good time, like, capitalism, whatever. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But, like, get in now.
Yeah.
Because my big fear is that the federal government, Big Brother, will come in. They're going to start messing with the internet. So get in there now. And it's always a good intention.
Yeah.
There's always, I think it was SOPA, S-O-P-A.
Yes, there were two. There was SOPA and there was PIPA.
Yeah. SOPA Longstocking and PIPA Longstocking. Hello, I'm Senator Earl Kitchen Cabinet, and all of my legislation is named after Pippi Longstocking characters, children's books. So I think it was SOPA was looking to protect copyright laws.
Yeah.
Like, because we're, you know, listen, there's piracy everywhere and something has to be done. However, the big danger is somebody puts up the wrong video on YouTube or they put up the wrong video somewhere else and then the entire website goes down.
Yeah.
And only the big guys can afford to fight back and it hurts the little guy. So thank goodness SOPA went away.
Yeah.
And did PIPA go away?
PIPA went away. There were some legislation that ultimately made it through. What people are fighting for right now is if you want to go on Twitter, there's a hashtag WTFU, where's the fair use, where a lot of these video content creators who are using copywritten material so that they can review the material and make commentary on it, they want to keep these laws open and free. So there's a group, if you're interested, it's called Fight for the Future.
Nice.
And you can Google them, and they're doing all sorts of amazing things to keep the internet open and free.
That's great. And here's, unfortunately, here's the problem. Good luck with this Congress and Senate and lawyers everywhere. As a, I'm not going to say artist, but as a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
like, my stuff is out there.
Yeah.
If you're driving around on XM, you listen to the Comedy Channel, whatever that thing is called. Mm-hmm. I don't have satellite radio in my car.
Well, there's a couple, but you're probably on Raw Dog Comedy.
Right? Yeah. There's my one-hour special on Comedy Central, mm-hmm. You've Changed. Yep. They play clips from that. And they also have tracks from my first CD, $20 worth. I thought that was so clever when my first comedy album, and I called it $20 worth. So and then after the show, I would sell them, and people go, "Is this any good?" I go, "Hey, it's $20 worth." I loved that. I thought it was so funny. But anyway, there's an agency that monitors that and yeah. makes sure that comedians get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's awesome.
Absolutely.
And that's the only way it can work.
Yeah.
And that's why I always joke around about Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on that, like, follow me, Taylor Swift. I want her to follow me. I loved how she went to bat for the little guy, mm-hmm. with iTunes and with, Spotify and with Pandora, yeah. all that stuff. You have to. Otherwise, if artists can't make money
mm-hmm.
off of their art, then it's all over. So, then it is all over.
But that's why we're in a really interesting place right now with all this new media, and that anyone can go out and get a camera and they can create anything. Creating music and creating videos can almost be like community theater now, because you can do it just because you want to create something. But the scary thing and the cool thing at the same time is those guys are now competing with Taylor Swift. They're competing with what's on TV.
I love it.
And it's cool.
Have you heard of this dude, Pogo?
I have not heard of Pogo.
Okay. Oh my gosh, I wish I had a track. This is a DJ from Australia. Yeah, look up some Pogo stuff.
I'll do some Pogo.
Search Pogo Up.
All right.
Like from the movie Up. He takes sounds and bits of music from Disney movies and he turns them into songs. It is, are you going to try to plug it in?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have it?
Yeah, I can get it.
Oh, it's the coolest thing ever. Here's the deal. Like, I would get sued. Like, if we play this, am I going to get sued?
I think we can fair use it if we just use a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Or worst case scenario, we just cut it out after the fact.
All right, cool. But I love this dude. Okay, we're going to try to...
No, we got it. Don't worry about it.
We got it?
We got it.
Okay. Let me know when we're going to play this, Thucka.
But keep telling us about Pogo.
He started doing like from Sleeping Beauty or from Cinderella. And he would take them, like turn them into dance songs, like just using the original actual sounds from the film. And audio clips, and Disney was like, "Hey, you got to stop. We're gonna sue you." He's like, "Come and get me. I'm in Australia." And like, they came after him, and he kept doing it. He kept doing it, but his stuff is like getting more and more popular. And finally, Pixar, mm-hmm. a few years ago, they were just like, "Hey, could you do one for us?" They like just totally steered into the curve, and he did one. It's one of my favorites from Up. And we'll put this together to where it'll just play it.
Yeah, I'm just going to play it. We may get hit with an ad because we're pulling this off of YouTube, but we're just going to... Nope, here we go.
I love it. It's fantastic. He's just taking pieces of dialogue.
You know, I'm realizing I have heard of this guy because, you know, my other podcast is So Fresh, So Prince.
Yeah.
He had done a Fresh Prince one of these, and it's awesome.
It's fantastic! I just love it. I just love it. And I love the fact that Pixar was like, "Hey, could you do one for us?"
Yeah.
Just steering into it. That is art. That's David versus Goliath right there.
As it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's keep the internet open, free, the wild, wild west. That episode will air in 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, it's a couple of weeks away. Because May 22nd, we have another new episode, not the one we shot this weekend.
Right.
And then after
it's so exciting.
Yep.
Life is really good right now. The podcast, this thing, this little thing that we're doing, going great.
Love it.
The website, going great. LoftusParty.com. TV show, going great. Everybody, let's keep the government out. And here's this is a great example. I'm going to use this as a segue to when the government does get involved. Now, a couple episodes ago, we're all joking around about the Carolina bathroom situation.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a joke, Yvonne joke thing. And you're like, oh, where's the guy in the dress going to go? Dig, dig, dig. But now the federal government has taken it to another level. And they just pretty much told every public school in this great nation, here's how it's going to work. You either do it or you don't get federal funding.
Yeah.
That is when I get involved. It's incredibly scary.
It's such a big mess right now. And it's really, it's uncomfortable because there's no good answer to this situation.
Well, in terms of the bathroom thing,
yeah.
There is one simple solution. Family bathroom.
Yeah.
There's just a gender neutral, we don't care bathroom. However, like, and this is like, I guess you always have to, and like, some people on the right are like, what about the pervert that goes in there? Hey, they're already in there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're already there. That's what you have to look out for. I'm not worried about the transgender people. Like, I'm worried about the real, like, pervert that go to great lengths. I was on the show World's Dumbest,
yep.
And we would have our fair share of people going to great lengths to put cameras places and to watch things. And anyway, here's the argument that I haven't heard yet.
Okay.
And this is what you get when you listen to the Loftus Party. What about the rights? Now, I understand. Okay, you think you were born in the wrong body.
Yes.
I totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a woman, and I'm going to live my life as a woman, and I'm in a lovely dress, and I'm well put together,
yep.
And I'm at Arby's, and I need to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to the ladies' room.
Yep.
Because that's, okay. Now, but that's me. I'm a pretty girl. Like, I think I would be passable. What about the people who aren't?
Yeah.
Now, here's the deal. No one talks about the kids. Like, I'm honestly not worried about the perverts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those, we have to worry about them regardless.
Yes.
When I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
I was terrified of clowns. I was terrified. And I'm not comparing, in a way I am. I'm trying to use it as a metaphor. And I do have a point here. But, like, I saw there was a person. I knew it was a person.
Yeah.
And he was wearing a wig. Mm-hmm. And he was wearing makeup.
Yep.
And it seemed like he was hiding something. And it terrified me.
Mm-hmm.
My scenario is this. You're transgender. You're not a convincing woman yet.
Yeah.
Maybe you're a few doses behind
mm-hmm.
on the estrogen or whatever.
Yeah.
And like some person is coming out of a Burger King bathroom with their little girl and like, nah! Like, what about the little girl's rights? What about the child's right not to be terrified?
Well, but...
Because I think it's safe to assume, like, when you go into a restroom,
mm-hmm.
there's not going to be, a clown walking in or a scary, right? And then you got to have, like, a transgender talk. Listen, there's a Bed Bath & Beyond down the street.
Yeah.
And what?
They are awful there. I have sworn off ever going to
really?
It. Yeah.
I love Bed Bath & Beyond.
No, I love Bed Bath & Beyond. It's just that particular Bed Bath & Beyond.
Really?
Yeah.
You're that specific.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lovely transgender, I guess, woman there.
Yeah.
There's a woman that mm-hmm. works there, and she's quite helpful. And like last year, I'm in there with my sons, and I really want, I forget what I was looking for. And she comes over and she's like, can I help you today?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm looking for, oh, it was a shower curtain. I was going to get a shower curtain. She's like, oh, yeah, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And as she's leading the way, my kids look at me like, what is going on here? There was a lot of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm a cool dude.
Yeah.
You know, I get my little shower curtain, I leave, and they're like, what was that? And I'm like, oh, that was a lady who was helping us. She looked like she probably was. And sometimes, you know, and I thought I was extremely cool about it.
Yeah.
However, that's the argument I haven't heard for the bathroom situation. What about I don't want to have... My kids were, they were older. They weren't like 3 and 5, you know? I don't know.
But okay, but, and this is where it's tough. It's like, are we going to create the scenario where just because some parents are uncomfortable explaining to their kids about the fact that some people were born in the wrong body?
Yes, we have to.
Yeah.
We have to respect that parent's rights. I don't want to have that conversation with my kid until I want it. You can't have the federal government impose it. It's the same thing with the Supreme Court today, punted on the contraception issue.
Yeah.
That's a very, like, listen, the federal government, and this is what happens when you have the federal government in charge. The federal government is now just straight up bullying every public school. And I tell you what, and it's good for people who think like me who don't like big government, because I tell you what, if you were thinking about putting your kid in a private school or homeschooling your kid or getting your kid into a Catholic school or some other, I would, if I had a kid now, he wouldn't be going to public school. If not, if the federal government's going to tell me, here's how you must think, right?
I don't know. Parents are a lot with you on this one.
What do you mean?
Well, it's maybe I'm just giving more credit to kids, but kids have an incredible amount of empathy. And if you just explain to them that this is something we'll talk about when you're older, but don't worry about it, or you want
to. Do you ever listen to Dr. Drew?
Of course, I listen to Dr. Drew. Yeah.
Okay, and once that switch is flipped,
yeah,
in a little kid,
mm-hmm,
you can't unflip it. Right? There's okay. Seriously.
No, like, I
don't want the federal government trying to tell me when I talk to my kids about sex. That's the parents' right, straight up. And I don't want if Jimmy's confused and now he wants, oh my gosh, I almost did like the worst thing ever. Anyway, just to have a separate bathroom for those kids.
I agree.
You know, and like with I know how restrooms work and blah, blah, blah. My big thing is the federal government saying it's our way or the highway. About this issue or any other issue.
And there's nothing stopping the states from saying, we're going to do this anyway. We're just not going to take your money.
I like what that, you know what? I didn't like that dude from Texas, the lieutenant governor from Texas. And he's like getting all biblical. You could tell Obama he could keep his 30 pieces of silver. He flipped it back because he goes, the money that the federal government is now going to take from us as mm-hmm. the state of Texas.
Yep.
That was the money that we were using for breakfasts. For the kids who are really hungry. So now you're not doing anything for the transgender community. You're actually smacking the food out of hungry children's hands. So, it's going to get really ugly.
It's going to get ugly really quickly.
The federal government has to step out. It's states' rights. States' rights. You know, the federal government's been doing this for the longest time.
Yeah.
Do what we want, or we're not going to give you this money for a road. Do mm-hmm. what we want, blah, 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 blah. So, incredibly frightening. What, we were talking about the Supreme Court thing.
Yes.
I was bummed out to see him punt today.
But it's
wasn't thrilled about the punt.
It's not surprising because, and this is going to get into a larger issue about where the Supreme Court is right now, just because of the fact that it's, split 4-4 between liberal and conservative. So there's mm-hmm. going to be a lot of punting until we get a 9th Supreme Court justice member.
Which I think is awesome.
Well, all it really means is that whatever the federal court says, that's what it's ultimately going to end up being the decision on.
I don't like this whole thing where the Supreme Court is like legislating, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because, yeah, whatever. So it was the big contraception thing today. That was so awesomely fun and funny for me to watch go down, like the whole Obamacare thing when they're like, no, if you're a Catholic institution and you have employees, you got to buy a birth control for them.
Yeah.
That was like one of those delicious moments because my kids go to a Catholic school.
Yeah.
Right? And mm-hmm. Everybody over there voted for Obama. Mm-hmm. Just, yeah, Obama stickers, Obama, Obama. And kids were told, like, let's make political signs this year. Let's all do it. And one poor kid, not my kid, mm-hmm. some other kid who will remain nameless, he made a McCain sign.
Okay.
And he had to leave the school early because he was teased mercilessly. He was bullied by, why could you? Because if you were anti-Obama, you know, you were probably the devil. So, yeah, he left the school in tears, incredibly traumatized because he was standing up for what he, probably what his parents were going to do.
That's the key. When you're a little kid, have a political preference. You have your parents' political preference.
Right? So everyone, all the school kids, all the everyone over at this institution, a Catholic institution.
Yeah.
We're like, Obama, Obama, Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't think you guys have like drilled down on these issues. And it was just like, it was delicious. When he's like, hey, Catholic institutions, you have to buy your employees birth control. Well,
I mean, let's you know, tiptoe into Michaeltopia. I know we're not quite there yet, but the solution that he ultimately came up with was all these institutions had to do was say, look, we're not going to provide birth control. We're just going to sign a piece of paper and says we're not going to provide birth control.
Bada bing, bada boom.
And then the government steps in and says, okay, great. We're going to figure out someone else to provide birth control.
Yes.
But what they're upset about right now, these institutions, is they're saying, well, we don't even want to sign that piece of paper. Because by signing that piece of paper, we would be involved in getting contraceptions for people. And that's
there's a little logic jump there. I mean, I think you're close to something.
No, that's what it
was. But like by signing a piece of paper that we won't provide birth control, we're providing birth control?
Yeah.
Okay, that's straight up crazy. That can't truly be the argument. It never would have gone to the Supreme Court.
That's what the argument was.
Here we go. That couldn't have been the argument. No lawyer's going to take that case. No lawyer's going to say, well, wait a minute, what? It was like the Sisters of Mercy. They're like, we don't even want to. I think they're saying, I don't even know what they're saying. This is great. Welcome back to Ignorance on the Radio. We don't know. We're not sure.
All right. I am pulling.
All I know is this. I am down for people's personal rights. That's my whole thing. Individual rights, liberty, the pursuit of some serious happiness.
Yes.
You want to get your birth control? Go get your birth control. I'm not paying for yours.
Yeah.
That's just all there is to it. I'm not going to pay for a stranger's birth control. You want to go get some nookie nookie? You got to buy it. You're making a choice.
All right. So I'm reading directly from.
You're going to read the legal brief?
No. This is from the New York Times.
Oh, the New York Times.
Yeah, I know.
And they're on it.
I know. Listen,
they're big. Yeah, okay.
I don't want anyone saying that, you know, we're pulling from the most conservative place. We want to make sure we have both sides of this.
I like that.
Okay, so today's case was the court's second encounter with the contraception requirement and the fourth time it considered an aspect of the Affordable Care Act. It built on a case from 2014 which said a regulation requiring family-owned corporations to pay for insurance coverage for contraception violated a federal law protecting religious liberty. This was the Hobby Lobby case.
Yes, that we're talking about
right now.
Which I'm totally on the side of Hobby Lobby.
Okay, so Justice Samuel Alito, writing for the majority in 2014, said there was a better alternative, one the government had offered to nonprofit groups with religious objections. That alternative or accommodation was at issue in the new case. It allowed nonprofit groups like schools and hospitals that were affiliated with religious organizations not to pay for coverage and avoid fines if they informed their insurers, plan administrators, or government that they wanted an exemption. Many religious groups around the nation challenged the accommodation, saying that objecting and providing the required information would make them complicit in conduct that violated their faith.
Okay. So that's it's similar yet different from what you said.
Okay.
And then I also wonder if it also opens up a Pandora's box where you have to suddenly, just prove. I remember that with Hobby Lobby, like, how religious are you?
Yeah.
And that's just a slippery slope.
Exactly.
You know what? Because that's like, I'm never going to get into a Bible quoting contest with anybody.
Because
that's like the oldest thing. Like, well, you believe this in the Bible? Do you? And it just gets so boring. But I'm glad there is. Listen, it'll go down to a lower court,
yep.
And I'm sure I don't think you should have to prove how religious you truly are until you're like now. If you're talking about tax exempt status,
yeah,
like if you're going to open up, listen, I'm the church of the wicker basket chair.
Yep.
No. But then watch now. We're going to get an angry email. Listen, I am the founder of the church of the wicker basket chair, and we are. A fun-loving organization. We help out the children.
Whatever keeps you on the straight and narrow, keeps you off the streets, whatever your God is, if it keeps you from being a jerk, there was another term I was going to use there that's not safe for work, but whatever keeps you from being a jerk, I'm all for.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Polite society.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
Yeah.
You know, a friend of mine, many, many years ago, it's amazing how many things religions have in common.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly... Mostly, that's my newt.
That's your
from Aliens 2.
Okay.
Mostly, they come at night. Mostly, newt. the nerds are laughing.
We're going way.
I
back.
Wonder where that girl is now. I hope she's okay. Let's find out where Newt is.
Okay.
From Aliens 2.
You make
mostly
your point.
Mostly, they come at night.
I'm
mostly.
Gonna look it up.
We're gonna look up where Newt is. Here's the wonderful thing about religion. And the Ten Commandments. It's really like how not to get killed. It's don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't covet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just do your own thing and like help out your fellow man. It's a tough go round. We should probably help each other out. That's what I like about organized religions.
Well, and you know, and I don't know where
mostly.
I don't know where I'm pulling this from, but you know, I've heard the quote before. I don't care whether you're black, white, Jewish, Protestant, Muslim, Christian, Catholic, whatever sect you come from, red, blue, yellow, white, I care about whether or not you're an a-hole.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And if you're using your religion to be an a-hole, well, then you need to reevaluate.
Exactly. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Boy, you know what? You didn't think you were going to get deep today. I didn't know we were going to get into some Zen stuff, but here we are. It's good.
It is good.
I like the organized religion.
It's a good thing. There's no question about it.
Yeah. You know what? You're a Jewish fellow, yeah?
I am.
Yeah? How's your temple?
Pretty good, actually.
Yeah? Do they have a break in the middle of Mass? They have a break in the middle of service, and they have a little deli tray in the back?
Yeah, so the way that it
That's
works
That's an awesome
is,
thing.
Yeah.
That is an awesome, awesome thing.
It's wonderful.
It's called a what?
A kiddush.
Oh! My buddy, Avi. Oh, my God. I don't know what temple he goes to, but he's describing it. And, like, he's like, I got great seats.
Yep. Oh, the seats are a big thing. That's a big thing on high
it's
holidays.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And there you have a break, and there's a spread.
Yep.
Do you know how I'm Catholic. Mm-hmm. I would go to church so much more if there was a spread.
Yeah.
If, like, we could take a break in the middle and like, go get a sandwich. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Ooh, not going to take that one.
And just tell you, the spread is excellent.
Right? I'm sure it is.
Deli meats.
Oh,
cakes.
My God.
It's just good.
If you are hearing this show, go online and get tickets to Israel. I think I've said it before here.
Yep.
There's something about that place.
It's wonderful.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
The best ice cream, the best dairy, mm-hmm. the best the produce. There's something just, I can only imagine. Like I want the Catholic Church to lift that from the Jewish faith to like let's start putting in a break. Like, listen, we had Vatican II.
Yeah.
We went from a totally Latin Mass to okay, let's do it in English.
Here's a fun Orthodox. It was wonderful.
Here's a funny story. And we actually use this in an episode of Anger Management. But anyway, I would love to take a break in the middle of Mass and holy guacamole, it's going so well. I'm having a blast. Take a break in the middle of Mass and just like have like some really, really like a good deli spread.
Yeah.
So we've had Vatican II. We might as well have Vatican III. Okay. Vatican III, the battle for the deli spread is what I'm saying. Vatican II was, okay, now we're going to say Mass in English. So, when I move out to LA,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm looking around at different neighborhoods. I pick this neighborhood. Oh, there's nice. There's a church right there. There's the hospitals, everything. It's got everything. You know, and my wife, we're going to start a family. And,
uh-huh.
So we go to church one Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, this is a beautiful church, and there's a school if we arrive, the whole thing.
Yep.
And Mass comes out. It's like, hola, da. Jesus Christ. The whole thing. Like, everybody in there.
Wait, was that Spanish or Latin?
That was Spanish.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really bad. It was really bad. I thought hola was the tip, but... Yeah, the whole thing is just in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And so my wife and I look at each other and we realize everyone in there, it's just a Spanish speaking Mass.
Yeah.
We just figured. And like, so we just hung out.
Yeah.
You know, cause you know the timing of the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So we actually use that, story in an episode of, Anger Management where, Charlie's dad, played by Martin Sheen, says, Charlie, you know, you've fallen out of, you don't go to church anymore, you don't do this. And Charlie's like, I go to church all the time. And Charlie's dad is like, well, let's go to Mass tomorrow. And Charlie's like, okay. And so they go to Mass. and Martin Sheen looks at Charlie and he's like, so this is your church? Oh, yeah, this is my church. They know me here. You know, hello, everybody. Da, da, da. Mm-hmm. And then the priest starts like, hola. It is like they just like did a slow burn, like Martin Sheen. It was very, very funny.
And I have to say, I don't know who thought it was a good idea to cast Martin Sheen as Charlie Sheen's father, but I think they were going on something there.
I don't know. I don't see the resemblance.
Really?
Yeah. No, okay. No sparks were flying.
Okay.
Okay.
So really quickly, let me chime back in.
We're Newt.
Carrie Henn is the name of the actress.
Yeah.
It was the only movie she ever did. She went on to become a school teacher.
Really?
Yeah.
She teaches school mostly at night. Mostly. All right. So China ignored the People's Revolution.
They did.
30 million people died in that. For all my socialist, socialism leads to communism. 30 million.
Yeah.
30 million people died.
Oh, yeah.
That's just horrifying.
Yeah.
The Democratic little meeting in Nevada went bad.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara Boxer, who we both agreed probably was a hottie back in the day.
Yes, indeed.
Don't agree with her politically, but hey. She got booed. Supreme Court punted on the contraception thing. Facebook, a little nutty. They're trying to, who's watching the watchers on the whole Facebook thing?
Mm-hmm.
And who's watching the White House? Oh, I wanted to touch on this before we got out of here.
Ah, okay.
The White House. So, boy, this whole thing, Ben Rhodes, comes out in the New York Times.
Yeah.
And does like a little, I don't know why he would brag about this. But Ben Rhodes is bragging how they led the press around by their noses about the Iran nuclear deal.
Yeah.
And I think he's like, your average reporter is 27 years old. And they don't really have a great da-da-da. We just tell them what they want to do, what they hear. We tell them where to go, blah, blah, blah. And it is a very, very frightening thing. Just as the Facebook people can decide what you're going to see in the news, the White House can really decide how the media is going to behave.
Yeah.
Ben Rhodes' brother is David Rhodes, the head of CBS News.
Yes.
Now, do you have the whole list in front of you? Because the list goes on and on with these different connections with people who work in the White House and work at ABC News, work in the White House, CNN News.
So I don't have the whole list in front of me, but the main one was Ben and David Rose. There have been other ones throughout the years.
Yeah.
But this is the first time that it's been so blatant.
The old press secretary, way before Josh Ernst.
Which was Jay Carney.
Jay Carney.
And his wife, who worked at CNN as well.
Yeah, yeah. There's like three or four of these where a sibling runs a news station, a wife runs a husband. I feel bad saying look it up. I didn't really know we were going to get into it this week, but it's frightening.
It is.
So here's a funny little tidbit. So Ben Rhodes is bragging to the New York Times about how they led the White House around. The White House led these reporters around by their nose. And James Rosen from Fox News is like, you didn't lead me around by the nose. Now, James Rosen is the one that the White House bugged.
Yes.
He is also Cheryl Atkinson also was under investigation. James Rosen had his emails taken. His parents were investigated. Mm-hmm. So James Rosen takes great pride in saying, hey, White House, you didn't lead me around by the nose. I asked a question about this. I thought something was up back, you know, a year ago.
Yeah.
And now they keep a record of all this at the White House.
Of course.
And he goes, send me the tape and I'll prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sent him the tape and his question was not on there. Of the official record, they had taken it out. And James Rosen is like, hey, I have independent proof that I actually asked about this.
Yeah.
And the White House goes, oh, that was a glitch. That was a glitch. You know, occasionally there'll be a computer glitch in the videotape and we'll just accidentally lift. So now they've corrected it.
Yeah.
He was doing old school journalism. And, so good on you.
And that's where it gets into a creepy Orwellian system.
It really does.
That we do have to worry about.
Yes.
You know?
And be on guard about.
All the more reason to keep the internet free.
Yes. And keep listening to the Loftus Party. Oh my gosh. And then here's the big story. Another New York Times thing. The whole, John Miller, which I think is hysterically funny.
Okay.
The Donald Trump back in the 90s, yeah. Like all this other stuff is going on. Like Kerry is talking about arming, Libyans now.
Yeah.
He's talking about, let's give Libyans guns. That's not a story. Here's a story. Donald Trump back in 1991 would call a reporter from People Magazine and pretend to be his own publicist, mm-hmm. John Miller. That's literally what people were talking about all weekend.
Of course.
Okay. That is, that's incredibly, incredibly frightening. I guess the story was he denied it.
But again, it's like Marco Rubio said it best. When people talk about Trump, people listen. You know, that's why Rubio made the tiny hands comment, because that got him some press right before Florida.
I think Donald Trump should bring back the John Miller character, right? He has a problem. Donald Trump has a problem with women, but John Miller doesn't. So what he should do robocalls is John Miller. Hi, I'm John Miller calling on behalf of Donald Trump. Wants to say he's sorry.
It'd be very Oscar Wilde of him to do.
It would be great. It would be great. John Miller. The Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Woodward.
Yeah.
Was on the Sunday talk shows, and he says that the Washington Post is going to have 20 reporters digging into Donald Trump.
Yep.
Digging into his character.
Yep.
And then like, hey, are you going to have the same amount of reporters digging into Hillary Clinton? And he's like, not so much. So It's just funny. Donald isn't. He is in for it.
I don't understand what they think they're going to find. It's not like anyone's been lying about Donald Trump since the beginning.
That is the happy accident, I guess, if you're a Trump fan. The happy accident of, like, he hasn't been saying. Like, yeah, he did interviews with Playboy, and he dates models, and he's been married a bunch, and he wanted to be like a Playboy back in the 90s. That was his whole persona. Just ask John Miller. They're not, what's the dirt? Like, your business, whatever. It's gotta be very easy being, Donald Trump's publicist. I think that's why he does it himself as John Miller. Because it, like, why pay somebody? Mm-hmm. I'll just use my own voice and call these people. The reporter that he claimed to be John Miller to from People Magazine, she's on MSNBC going, I think he owes me an apology. For what?
Well, he misled her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then here's the other one that I have, like, just no. And this will be angry emails big time. These people going, Donald Trump's not a real conservative. Somebody needs to write it down. Write down what a real conservative is.
I agree.
Because I don't really, what is it? He wants to protect the borders. How is that not conservative? He wants less government regulations. How's that less conservative? Smaller government? Like, where is he, like, off the track? Where did he just, like, leave reality? I saw this dude on MSNBC last night talking about, I wouldn't let my 9-year-old son listen to him. Really? Mm-hmm. Really, dude? Like, you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't let your 9-year-old, like, Donald Trump's giving a rally in Omaha, and you're gonna, like, turn off the TV. He's gonna whip out his wiener. Like, gee, many Christmas. The bathroom battle. Got to keep the federal government out of the schools. Parents, get involved with your kids' education. That's all awesome. There's 20 people vetting Donald Trump from the Washington Post. I'm sure these are the same people who vetted Obama. You know, because Donald Trump pretended to be his own publicist in 1991, and Obama's, like, hanging out with Bill Ayers, like a legit, like, went to prison for terrorism.
Yep.
And nobody's like, I think he'll be a great president. I won't even get to the Jeremiah Wright aspect of it all. That is wonderful. This is a good show. I'm realizing now I'm woefully unprepared for Michaeltopia. So here's my Michaeltopia.
Mm-hmm.
Michaeltopia is a segment on the show where we talk about the real world is crazy. You never know what's going to happen, but everything makes sense in Michaeltopia. And then we do, like, these little decrees. So here's my decree. In Michaeltopia, the host of the show is always prepared with Michaeltopia and is never looking at his notebook going, wow, did I just miss that? I hope you've got one, Andrew.
I do have one. This is where it's nice to have a contributor helping you out. So in Michaeltopia, as someone who is unemployed and says he can't find a job, you lost your last excuse.
Really?
Yes. So, down in Savannah, Georgia, there's a minor league baseball team called the Savannah Bananas.
Nice.
Yep. And they found a little puppy that someone left in the parking lot. No tags, no microchip, no collar, nothing. So you know what they did? They brought that puppy in, named him Daisy, and they gave him a job with the team.
That's wonderful.
Daisy is now the new bat dog for the Savannah Bananas.
That's great. You know, in Richmond, they have the Richmond Squirrels. I love minor league baseball.
Okay.
In Michaeltopia, we celebrate minor league ball.
Yes.
In Columbus, Ohio, we used to have the Yankees farm team, the Columbus Clippers.
Oh, that's great.
You like baseball, you're going to see all these players. They're coming back from rehab, all this other.
Yep.
Back in the day, once again, aging myself, Daryl Strawberry.
Ooh.
Coming out of rehab.
Yes.
Then probably both kinds of rehab, like on it. And so we are in the stands just giving him the business. Daryl Strawberry, great ball player.
Absolutely.
Can hit the long ball, whatever. And like he'd come up to the plate and we're like, Daryl, crack! Home run. Mm-hmm. Just knock. Okay, and that was the last time we made fun of him. Okay, so in Michaeltopia, we celebrate minor league baseball. And in Michaeltopia, we celebrate you. Thanks for checking out the Loftus Party. Always a blast. Great show. Thanks, Andrew. This was a really, really good time.
This was a good time.
So, yeah, go to theloftusparty.com. Go to YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel for the flip side.
Please rate us 5 stars on iTunes. I know Michael hates saying it, but it really does help us out.
Yay! And imagine this is 20-pound sledge playing us out. We love you. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. That was so easy and pleasant. that was